I love sharing my gift with others in this season. I most definitely love playing and sharing some Christmas music. For our first piece, thank you, Mom. We hear him every week preach God's word and lead his church, but I was surprised by a little something else. I direct the choir here, and I get to hear him sing as well. You may not know, but he is an amazing singer. He has a great, great voice. I'm so excited for you to hear him sing. Before the piece, and each piece tonight, I'm going to share a piece of scripture that follows the Christmas story and that ties to the piece before it. So this first piece of scripture in Luke 2, 8 through 15, it says, "In the same region where the shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' Then when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Here's Clay. He's going to sing, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." I'm going to take this jacket off.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel.
always a good experience. I'm a little biased with this next song. I had my wife sing it, so. When I hear this next song, I can't help but think about what Mary could have been thinking when the angel came to her to tell her the news about the child that she was about to conceive. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.'" Also, this cantata is sponsored by Clorox. "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Continue. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born. He will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" This next piece is Rebecca singing "Breath of Heaven."
I have after the news that Mary received, the baby was born. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through 7 says, "And Joseph also went from Galilee, from a town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Did you like all that? Or Clorox? Sorry, sponsored by Clorox. Sorry, y'all. Corona's not fun. Not fun at all. Clorox, real quick. And we have been blessed with Nick here. Nick is the son of Caroline and Lance. He is so great, and we know him as our rhythm section, our percussionist. But he sings as well. Here's Nick singing Silent Night. Her husband husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here's one of my favorite Christmas songs, Joseph's Lullaby.
You have a home, a home.
for you. Bring Rebecca back up on stage now to sing this next song. This next song talks about the light of the world, the baby boy who was born, who would be called Emmanuel, who would one day take away the sins of the world. And I can't help but think about the wise men following that bright star and bringing gifts to the new baby boy. Matthew 2, 9 through 12 talks about just that. It says, after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, we know that story, they departed to their own country by another way. And here's Rebecca again singing Light of the World. Another one of my favorites. Thank you.
this last song brings all of this into perspective. And it's called New Star Shining. I get the pleasure to sing with my dad, my brother. In this season, we tend to focus on the birth of Christ, right? And rightfully so. But we never put it into perspective what he did. He didn't come just to be born, right? He came to sacrifice himself for us so that we may accept him and find hope and everlasting life. I was at a church service last week, and I heard the pastor talk about this, and Christmas sermon sounded a lot like an Easter sermon, right? He said that you can't have one without the other. He had to be born so that he could die, right? And this last scripture that I want to read is not a typical Christmas scripture, but it's surely one that will give us perspective. It's a long one, so bear with me. I want to bring one, so I'm going to need some prayers. But Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 12, says, "For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." Verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opens not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Verse 8. "By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. Yet, listen to this, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put on him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities." Listen to that. "He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Right? In this time, we celebrate the birth, but we need to keep in mind why he came. Why he was born. To fulfill the prophecy and to give us new life, to make intercession for transgressors. Here's our last song, New Star Shining.
I'd like to say something. The song has a good deep meaning to me. Last time we sang it, I guess, was about this time in 2015. Dad passed away about 2 days later. And I just see him sitting there smiling. And it's such an honor to sing with these guys. And the little guy up there, called me Papa. Would you ever have thought Teresa sitting in this garden, first in class, that this day would ever come? There's a new star shining, and it's still there for us today for one. Hope I don't see these words.
If you feel as if that he is not the center of your heart today. Please meet up with your clay after. We'd love to talk with you. But we have a group of wonderful people up here and an amazing company. She said, do not point me out, but I have to. She's so great. Miss Carolyn Ford has come to play for us today. I'm not near as good as her. So she's going to play these two pieces for the choir as we sing. It's been such a great, fun time to discover that we have a choir. You know, reading some music and singing some Christmas music and accompanied by a wonderful piano player. So we get set up and we'll sing for you.
Thank you.
last piece away in the manger.
Where's the 200? start with Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 258. Bear with me, these are some fun ones to play.
Joy, love, and triumph, and glory.
278.
Under the law, so that we time, receive adoption as sons. Paul continues his argument in verse 4, and he notes that by nature we are slaves. Slaves to the elementary principles of the world. And what Paul means by that is that we are slaves to our own passions. We're slaves to sin. We're slaves to our own traditions that we believe will merit our entrance into the kingdom of God. We are by nature slaves. But God, in His grace, redeems sin-enslaved people. And verse 4, he says, the fullness of time had come. Dear friends, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was the right time. The fullness of time. It was the appointed hour. The appointed hour that God had set on His calendar from all eternity. That time in which He would send His Son into the world. It was no accident. God, in His great love, the Father sent His Son. And the Son of God was born of woman. Born under the law. You see, dear friends, the Scriptures tell us that Christ was born of a woman. Genesis 3 tells us of the first promise of the gospel, where there in the Garden of Eden, our first parents, Adam and Eve, having rebelled against God, having transgressed His law and earned death for themselves and their posterity. Yet in the midst of the judgment of God, God gave a good promise. A promise of salvation. A promise of a conqueror who was to come. God promised that there would come a seed, an offspring of the woman, an offspring of Eve who would crush the head of the serpent, but who would have his own heel bitten by the serpent. So it was necessary that the Messiah of God be born of a woman, and that he would not be born of a human father, is because this one, this Savior, would be born without original sin. He would be true humanity, true deity and humanity united in one person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born under the law. You see, dear friends, when Jesus came into the world, He subjected Himself to keep all the commandments of God. Every rule, every statute that God established for us, Christ fulfilled. You see, friends, it is necessary that Jesus live a righteous, blameless, and holy life. God said, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It was necessary for the Christ to gain the blessing of eternal life by His perfect and personal obedience. And as the Holy Son of God, therefore He was qualified to be our Redeemer. He was qualified to be our sin bearer. Christ received the curse of the law for us upon the cross. That is, as it is written, cursed is every man who is hanged upon a tree. And the purpose of this was to redeem those who were under the law. To set free, to liberate, to deliver those who were under the curse and condemnation of the law. Dear friends, the law is good if one uses it lawfully. But the ministry of the law is not one of salvation, but one of condemnation. The law of God reveals the holiness of God. And in light of the holiness of God, we see our own sin, our own transgression. And thus the law brings its curse, the promise of eternal judgment and condemnation under the wrath of a holy God. But Christ came to redeem those who were under the law. By His own life and death and resurrection, He won freedom for sinners who trust in Him, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Paul, speaking to the church of Galatia, reminds them, as he reminds us, that in Christ Jesus we receive adoption. Dear friends, the beauty of the gospel is that the God who pardons sinners in Christ Jesus also adopts. The illustration would be the judge here stands at the bar. He not only acquits, pardons, justifies sinners who trust in Christ, but this holy judge now steps down from the bench, walks over, and takes you home to be his son, to be his daughter. Friends, the relationship you have with God in Christ is that of a father with his son or his daughter. It is a precious, intimate fellowship. And that is the freedom, that is the liberty, that is the blessing which Christ has won for us. And so, dear friends, if you think the Christian life, always think that it is in Christ that you have communion with your Father in heaven. So as we close, friends, remember that it was necessary for the Christ to be born into the world, to redeem those of us under the curse of the law, to bring us near to God. And the gospel commands all men everywhere to repent, to believe upon this one, Jesus Christ, whom God appointed as Savior of sinners. There is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Let me urge you tonight, if you have not yet repented of your sin, to trust in Jesus, let today be the day. Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him come to the Lord, for he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will graciously pardon. Our God is good and merciful, and Christ will never turn away any repentant sinner who comes to him. Let us pray. Our Father, we love you, and thank you so much for this night of worship. Thank you for the promises you've given to us in Christ. Lord Jesus, you were born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Lord Jesus, where we have gained the curse, you have secured the blessing. And through the cross, you have delivered us from the wrath to come, that we may know the Father, that we may love him and enjoy him forever. Father, have mercy on your church, have mercy on your people. We love you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you're helpful, let's expand and sing this last song, Joy to the World.